Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge your authority, and we also acknowledge the authority around us that you have placed over us as in governments. And also, Lord, with teachers and parents, and we pray, Lord, that as your people, we will always seek to be men and women and young people that obey those in authority, as long as they don't contradict your word. We pray as we look at this particular commandment that you'll help us to examine our own hearts, that as we, the way that we treat our parents, Lord, will reflect to your honour and to your glory and be a witness to the gospel in this world. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What does it mean to honour your father and your mother? The New York Times did a number of articles, 10 articles in 2002. And in their fifth article on the Ten Commandments, they introduced us to a young man called Jeremy D. Scott. Now, Jeremy's dad was in the army. Jeremy's dad flew helicopters in El Salvador. And when Jeremy was 10 years old, his dad was killed. The helicopter had been shot down. He had been killed in the helicopter, and the two other men that had been with him survived the crash, but were then killed by the guerrillas. So Jeremy was 10 at the time, and when, of course, his article was written in 2002, he was 22. He had grown up facing many challenges as a young man, coming to terms with the death of his father. As he says, he saw other boys playing with their dads and felt very much the loss of his dad. He found it hard coming to terms with the death of his father and, of course, the lack of information that the government could give them because of the mission that his father had been on. Now, Jeremy comes from a family which has strong links to the army. His grandfather and one of his uncles were in the Marines. But he also comes from a family that are Christians. His father was a Christian. He attended Wyoming Bible Institute and then went to Bob James Christian University. And both his grandfather and one of his uncles were preachers. So with that history behind him, he says in the article that to overcome his anger and particularly his mistrust of the army, he started reading his Bible. And he continues to read his Bible every day and is now part of a Bible study group at the academy. So he's a young man who's both committed to the army but also committed to the Lord. Now, the academy that I'm talking about, or that he's talking about, is West Point, the United States Military Academy. So how did Jeremy seek to honour his father? Well, in Jeremy's case, he honoured his dad by joining the military, by becoming an officer, because his dad always said to him, if you join the military, become an officer. But also, upon graduation, he was going to go to flight school to become an army helicopter pilot, just like his dad. So honouring his dad was, for Jeremy, was taking up the role that his father believed in and continuing his commitment to his country. Now that is one way of honouring parents. But most times, honouring your parents means simply respecting them. Over the last few weeks, we've looked at the four commandments so far. The first commandment called us to be loyal to the Lord, to be loyal to him alone and no other gods. The second commandment called us not to make any images or idols or icons, to worship God, because Christ Jesus is the only image, is the perfect image of God that we can worship. The third commandment called us to honor God's name, not only with our lips, but with our lives. And the fourth commandment called us to worship God not by doing and achieving, but by resting in him and in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So tonight we look at the fifth commandment. In Exodus we hear, honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. In Deuteronomy is just a bit of an extra addition there. Honour your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So the first question is, what does it mean to honour? Well, what is the commandment pointing to? Well, the Hebrew word translated here as honor is the Hebrew word for heavy, for weighty. To help us understand that heaviness or weightiness, the word is also used in giving glory to God. The heaviness of approaching God, or the weightiness, the seriousness of the way that we interact with God. Psalm 86, 9 says, "All the nations you have made will come and worship before you. They will bring glory to your name." Or you could say, they will bring honor to your name. Isaiah 24, 15 says, "Therefore in the east give glory to the Lord, exalt the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, in the isles of the sea." So in one sense, honoring one's parents has even a divine quality to it. I mean, the heaviness that people would experience, I was trying to work out an illustration. I thought about the PM, but then I thought, I don't know how many people feel the weightiness of the PM's presence. Then I thought, there's one other person I think people would feel respect and weightiness, and I think that's the Queen. I think her length of duty, her longevity, her ability in the way that she's dealt with, you know, nations and leaders, I think someone going into her presence would feel a bit of weight upon them in the way they're going to approach this particular person. So to honour means to highly prize, to show respect, to glorify, to exalt. It's a big word. In fact, in the book of Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, the people of Israel were told to respect your mother and father. And the Hebrew word there can also be translated fear or give respect. And again, both those terms are reserved for God. So when the commandment says, honor your father and mother, it is linked to honoring God. It's the same word as we're shown here with fear and reverence. Now, of course, what happens in this commandment shows that the family unit is central to Israelite society. But it also shows that the family unit is important to God. He has placed it there. This is one of the most important units within any society. A lot of people want to talk about, you know, the first four talks about our duty to God, and I do acknowledge that, and the other six to our duty to our neighbour. But I want to say all the commandments reflect our duty, because all the commandments call us to express our obedience to these commandments because of our relationship with God, as I'll show you as we go on in this sermon. Now, the whole structure of family goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, 24, where it is written, "That is why man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." It is within the family life that children first learn about respecting and honoring others. It's within the family life that children learn about obeying those in authority over them. It is within the family, especially within the Israelite family, where the teachings of God and the covenant would be emphasized and established. It's within the family unit that the children would learn about the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, how he delivered them from Egypt and saved them. Now, both versions of the commandments tell us that if the Israelites did honor their parents, that they would live long in the land. And again, to show the importance of this particular commandment, it's the only commandment linked to the promised land. When God brought the people of Israel into Canaan, he said that if they obeyed his laws, they would possess the land. They would be blessed in the land. But of course, if they disobeyed, then they would eventually go into exile. And this commandment out of all of them is so linked to that promise about stability in the promised land. Again, displaying the importance that God has on the family unit. And the breaking of this commandment is one of the reasons why Judah went into exile. When we read the prophets, we do hear about the issue of idolatry. That seems to be so big. But it is interesting that when the prophet Ezekiel tells of the sins of the leaders of Jerusalem, he particularly mentions mistreating parents. Ezekiel 22, 6 and 7 says this, "See how each of the princes of Israel who are in you uses his power to shed blood. In you they have treated father and mother with contempt. In you they have oppressed the foreigner and mistreated the fatherless and the widow. So the promise that they may live long and that it may go well with them in the land the Lord your God is giving you is not an individual promise. It's not an individual blessing, but a communal promise and a communal blessing. If the people broke the commandment, then they would lose the possession of the land. If they kept the commandment, they would remain in the land. Of course, they broke it, and of course, they went into exile. So the fifth commandment has far more reaching consequences for the people of Israel than maybe the others, because it's linked to the land. So how does the fifth commandment affect us today? Well, the Apostle Paul warns us that in the latter days, one of the sins that will identify a society that is moving away from God will be the dishonouring of the parents. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy." Paul, in describing a society that has rejected God, wrote in Romans chapter 1, "They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil." They disobey their parents. Moving away from the fifth commandment is simply a display of moving away from God. So children, and I'm talking to everyone under the age of 18 at this moment in time. Why have I chosen the number 18? It's because legally in Australia, you're considered an adult. I'm not sure if that's correct, but that's the way the law is today. So if you're under 18, this is for you. Because to honour your father and your mother first means to obey them. Paul, in addressing the children in his letter to the Ephesians, wrote this: "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." He echoes this also in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Now, children, did you notice why you are to obey your parents? You see, you obey your parents not because they're your parents. That's still a pretty good reason. But because of Jesus. If you claim to believe in Jesus, if you claim to trust in Jesus, if Jesus is your Lord and Saviour, then you will obey your parents because of Jesus. Do you love Jesus? Then you will obey your parents. Your obedience to your parents is part of what it means for you to follow and honour and obey the Lord Jesus. Disobeying parents means that you are disobeying Jesus. I remember once when my children were younger, and there was a particular Colin Buchanan song called, you know, "Jesus is the Boss of Me." I remember, I think it was either Nicholas or Lisa, and we were getting them to do something, and they said to me, "Jesus is the boss of me, not you." And I said, "Jesus has delegated authority to me, so I'm your boss at the moment." So it's great to see that kids can pick up theology. But they were and should have understood that if Jesus is the boss of them, then they should have obeyed me. Because if Jesus is your boss, then Jesus calls you to obey your parents. So, you are not to play one parent off the other. You may know what I mean. You know, when Dad says no, and so you go to Mum without telling her that you've already gone to Dad and he's already said no, but you ask her hoping that she's going to say yes. Because if she says yes, you can say to Dad, "She said yes." Children, that is not honouring your parents. Or when your mum or dad tells you to clean up your room or do the dishes, and you don't refuse, but you just don't get around to doing it. Children, if you're following Christ, that is not honouring your parents. Now, the command to obey your parents means there's no negotiation. There's no arguing. You just do it. Why? Why? Because you love Jesus. Because you want to honor and obey Jesus. That's the motivation. That is what should drive you if you claim that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. However, if your mum and dad ask you to do something wrong, then you need to tell them in a nice way that you are that they are asking you to do something wrong and that because you love Jesus, you won't or can't do it. And sometimes it gets challenging. When I became a Christian, I became also a Protestant. And that was very challenging for my parents to be able to still honour them when they disapproved of me being a Protestant. What ended up happening is that I stayed under their authority and went to the Catholic Church while I was in high school until I turned 18. And then I went to a Protestant church. So I sought to try to honour my parents, but with the intention, of course, that I wanted to obey the Lord. Now, to everyone else in this room who's over 18, and those who may be listening who have a parent, your obligation to obey the fifth commandment has not been cancelled because you are an adult. The fifth commandment is a lifelong commitment. In adulthood, we honour our parents in a different way. If, however, you're still living with your parents when you're over 18, then honouring and respecting them is still important, and God still calls us to do that, which means respecting their rules, respecting their requests. And if you can afford to do so because you're working full-time, contributing to the running costs of the house. Honouring them means not taking advantage of them. If, of course, you've left home and you're no longer under their roof, then you still need to show them honour and respect in the way that you treat them. So you don't just drop off your laundry and say, thanks, Mum, and go off and then come back and pick it up again. That is not honouring your parents. But there is even a more important and challenging way of honouring our parents that costs us not only in time, but also in money. The Lord Jesus highlighted this in Mark 7, 8 to 13, where adult children were trying to get out of their obligation to care for the needs of their aging parents. Now, of course, this is the age of there's no superannuation, there's no pension, there's no facilities. The older aging parents were dependent upon their children. But what had happened was there was a system of saying, I'm going to dedicate my money or my goods to God. And since they're dedicated to God, you, Mum and Dad, cannot call upon me for support. Now, that meant that they didn't actually have to give it up at that very moment. All they had to do was express an intention. That's my intention, Mum and Dad. And because it's my intention, I cannot help you. As Jesus says, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honour your father and mother. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korbah, that is devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. This places upon all adult Christian children to provide for the care of their parents. The Apostle Paul calls upon all Christians as a witness to the gospel to care for their parents. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, he says, if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practicing by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, 8, he says, anyone who does not provide for their own relatives and especially for their own house has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So not taking care of people in your own family group, particularly your mother and father, means you're denying the faith by your action. And you're worse than an unbeliever. Now again, we might say, because we live in Australia, 21st century, great, mum and dad could be on the pension, there's Medicare, or they've got superannuation. They don't need my financial help. Great. And that might be true, but there may come a time when mum and dad may not be able to take care of themselves physically. And that's when we need to step in and care for them. And that also exposes us to another aspect of what it means to honour our parents, because suddenly they may become dependent on us. That's a pretty challenging thing. Maybe mentally they may not be capable to continue administering their property or their finances. One thing that Christians should never be accused of, and that is elder abuse, which of course is rife in our society, both physical abuse and specifically, of course, the growing issue of financial abuse. There are many stories, I haven't got any, but you can find them, about adult children stealing from their parents, tricking them to change their will so that everything is left to them and not to the other siblings, using their money because the parent has given them power of attorney, and then leaving their parents destitute. It is greed that drives these adult children to abuse the very people who cared for them when they were very young. Your parents cared for you when you were helpless. There may come a time when you need to care for your parents because they have become helpless. I fear that with the introduction of voluntary euthanasia into our society as an accepted alternative to palliative care, that some adult children could see this as a way of gaining their inheritance early, simply under the cover of saying, my parents are suffering. This is a way out for them. Elder financial abuse, or as it's termed, inheritance impatience, is a growing concern in our society, but it should not be known, should not be mentioned in the Christian community if we follow Christ. As Christians, we seek to obey the fifth commandment so that we can show to the world that we value and honour our ageing parents, that we care for them even when they can't, and that we will take care of them because they took care of us. And why? Because it pleases the Lord. It honours the Lord. It displays to the world that the gospel has actually transformed our hearts and minds. It's not about their home, their property, it's not about their money. Attitude to our parents is an opportunity, particularly in our society, at work, whatever, to share the Christian understanding of valuing people because they are made in the image of God. Explaining how the gospel drives us, that we have a God who loves us and cares for us and gave his son to die for us and calls us also, therefore, to be sacrificial in the way that we both honour him and our families. And that it's, in the sense, not about how productive the older people are or how able they are or how mentally clear they are. Because of the Lord Jesus, we are commanded and called to honour and care for them. If you love Jesus, you will honour your parents. If you don't love Jesus, then you won't honour your parents. And of course, the Lord Jesus left us an example that while he was hanging on the cross for our salvation, he still considered his mother. In John chapter 19, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Again, this shows us that for the Lord, family matters. And if family matters for Jesus, then family should matter for us who claim to be his disciples. Jeremy Scott has sought to honour his father by joining the army, by following in his footsteps, But Jeremy Scott also has a mother who did not oppose his choice, but like a good mother, told him that it would be dangerous. But he also needs to consider, how is he going to continue to honour her? The fifth commandment calls us to honour both parents, fathers and mothers. How's that for equality? It's not just the father, mum and dad equally are to be honoured. And that's in the Old Testament. Both are honoured and both are to be cared for. No matter our age, honouring our parents is a lifelong commitment, a commitment that displays our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to this world. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that your word calls us in obedience to you. Your word calls us out of our experience of your grace and mercy to honour our parents, to care for them, not to use them, not to abuse them, not to make use of them, but to care for them, even if it costs us time and money. We pray that, Lord, we may do so because we want to witness to your grace and your goodness to us. And as we do so, that we can critique this society that may wish to discard aging people. Help us, Lord, to see in those who are older than us wisdom and knowledge that we can learn from. Help us in all situations to show love and respect and honour to those who are older than we are. Because you command us, because you saved us, and because we love you. In Jesus' name. Amen.